You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Friday, March the 24th. I am your host, Michael Leva, joined by our very own Robert Burns from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Robert, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's just the about year anniversary of when we did the Tyreek Hill trade. So I feel just as good this year as I did last year going into this week.
That was actually yesterday. And on the 22nd was the anniversary of the Terron Armstead signing. So yeah, we're about 1 year from those big days. And today is Chris Greer's birthday. And I would be remiss if we didn't wish Miami Dolphins general manager Chris Greer a happy birthday today. I know he was at the Penn State Pro Day with Mike McDaniel. So hope he was able to celebrate his birthday up there in Pennsylvania in some style here tonight, maybe with a nice meal or something. But we're going to talk about some news. The Dolphins have lost another player who has left via free agency. And there's now some new information about what Miami is doing with their offensive line. As I know, fans are dying to know, when is Miami going to sign an offensive lineman? Now, look, they did sign Dan Feeney, who we all love. And if you don't love him, you're going to love him soon enough. The guy just looks like a barrel of laughs. But, we have some new reporting on their approach when it comes to the offensive line. But before we get to all that, as always, a big shout-out to everyone listening and watching at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group and by the great Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. And if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you very much. And if you're not, you should be. So everyone go to YouTube, search for Dolphins Talk. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. Smash a like button on all our videos. Hit the alert bell so when we go live like this, you can join us in the chat. And also put up some comments on our videos and I will respond to them as best. And Robert, in case you haven't heard, we have a contest going on right now where I'm going to give away this Jalen Waddle.
Ooh, and for those that is sweet.
Brand new Jalen Waddle. Waddle, shake side to side, bobblehead. Never been opened. Still in the box. They only made 250 of these. It's very rare. So for information on that, go to DolphinsTalk.com or go to my Twitter feed at DolphinsTalk, and you can submit your entry to win the Jalen Waddle bobblehead doll. Okay, first big story from Friday. The John Jenkins, the backup nose tackle, backup defensive tackle, signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. Now Miami has a hole to fill at backup, really nose tackle, because now with Vic Fangio, they're going to go to more of a 3-4 scheme. And John Jenkins, I was a big fan of his. He was one of those guys who you never heard his name a lot, but anytime he was called upon, he got the job done. He was a key contributor that kind of flew under the radar, a very big physical presence in the middle of that front seven. Now, he was pretty much your primary backup to Raekwon Davis. That needs to be filled. Now, Christian Wilkins can do it, but in the 3-4, you probably want more of a true nose tackle and not someone like Wilkins who's more of a right end or a left end in the 3-4. So I think Miami's going to be in the market here for a true nose tackle. And my question is, Robert, what are your thoughts? Do you think nose tackle something that they can, or this is the backup nose tackle, which needs to be filled. Is this something that they can fill in free agency, probably get someone at a reasonable rate, or does now this put that nose tackle spot on the radar for one of their picks in rounds two or three of this upcoming draft?
I still think the draft is going to be looking at those positions that Mike McDaniel has been sort of evolving throughout the past year and change. And I think especially early, they don't pick until the 50s. You know, they're going to be probably looking at someone who's going to be an impact player sooner than later. Defensive tackles, normally you don't you know, hit a home run like a Christian Wilkins, where even him, it took about 2 years or so to really feel that impact. I think they're going to be looking, you know, more toward maybe that tight end spot in the early rounds. Later rounds, you're lucky to make the team with the picks that they have. So with that being said, I think they're going to be looking towards later on in free agency, maybe going into spring and going into summer, where they want to see, is anybody else get cut that may be able to fill this hole? Because if you think they've, you know, you mentioned they do have Christian Wilkins. He has built a really, really good niche right in there in that middle, but he does like to play on the outside a little bit more than straight up on the nose tackle. But Zach Sealer has been playing out of his mind. He is in a contract year. He is going to fill that hole. I think that's what they're hoping he's going to be able to do, is take that scheme that Fangio puts in place for him, go out there and play his mind off, and then win himself a contract. And so I think that that is what they're hoping is the transition. They'll look for someone maybe a little bit cheaper to back him up. But I think in their minds, they feel they have that one and that two right in the middle there, along with Raekwon Davis. So they've got three solid players that can mix and mingle in between there. And that's probably where they're thinking with this going into the spring and into training camp and OTAs.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think and here's the deal with a backup nose tackle type, you know, you can get those guys relatively cheap. Not like John Jenkins was a hot commodity a few years back when they did sign him. And, you know, there are guys like that out there. It's just really about finding the right fit, someone who needs to be able to take on multiple offensive linemen at the same time and sort of tie up some blockers, and who has that physical presence. You really need to have that physical presence. So, yeah, it is a loss. But like I said, I was a big fan of his. I really did like him. Yeah. I thought, once again, there's some guys, you know, not everyone's going to get headlines. And on a team like this where they got a lot of big-name guys, your Xavien Howard, your Hollins, your Wilkins, Phillips, even Ogbo when he's on his game. Those guys, Chubb, they're going to get headlines. Not everyone's going to get headlines, but they still do a pretty good job. So I thought that was good. And in other news from earlier this week, since this is our first show pretty much of this week, Andrew Van Ginkel is back on a one-year deal. For longtime listeners of this podcast, you know I am maybe the biggest Andrew Van Ginkel fan there is in Miami Dolphins Nation. I love the guy. I know he did talk to like four other teams after the Patriots. I think he spoke to the Raiders and maybe some other teams. I'm not sure for exactly, but ended up back in Miami on a one-year deal, and we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Hopefully he, you know, he's – once again, this team has so many stars, but it's going to need guys who can fill a role. And if they only are asked to do one thing, they got to do that one thing really well to make their impact felt in the game. And I think with him, we know what that one thing is. It's get after the quarterback, and if he's just asked – however many times a game, it might not be a lot, putting you out there, pin your ears back and go after the quarterback. That's all I need you to do. He will do that job very, very well. So very happy with the re-signing of Andrew Van Ginkel. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm glad he's back. And I think the one thing that we're not talking about is it's good to not see another player from this Dolphins team go to the Patriots or go to another in-division team. Because, I mean, especially with this free agent period, I felt like I saw more players just hopscotching within the AFC East than really leaving the division overall. So I think it's good to have him stay on our team. He's a great impact player. He does make those plays you want when he gets those opportunities. He's a backup player, but we all know his name. And you hear it more often than not during broadcast. So it's good to have him on the scheme. It's someone who's a little bit of a carryover, but he's a hungry guy. He's like a Duke Riley. He can fill multiple roles if they have to, and they have maybe a hole on special teams. He can fill in there on occasion. But, you know, to see Andrew Van Ginkel stay on the team, not go to the Patriots, not take any of our team secrets along with them, I'm a fan of that move. And I think it was smart money too, especially on a one-year deal. I think they're spending their money wisely because they know, you know, this is a year we got to have those players. We don't want to teach everybody something new on top of having new players have to learn it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that side of the ball, what they've done this offseason is fantastic. They've done so much to sort of fix that side of the ball. And I'm excited to see what it's going to look like come week one and when the game starts for real, because there's a lot of new faces. And we're going to talk about that later on in the show. But before we get to that, let's not, you know, wait any longer. Talk about the one issue that fans are dying to talk about, which is the offensive line. Because I think a lot of fans did offense, and I've given Chris Greer a lot of praise this offseason, which once again, for longtime listeners, know I've been, nobody's been harder on Chris than me. I'm just not the biggest fan in the world. But I have learned that at least so far in the past 2 weeks of free agency to just sort of put the offensive line issue to the side and just look at the rest of the roster. And what he's done with the rest of the roster, which we'll talk about at the end of the show, has been fantastic. I think he's totally revamped one side of the ball with the defense, fixed the secondary, had some more linebackers. Just, you know, everything on that side of the ball has been great. Offensive line, on the offensive side, he's done some other stuff. But so I give him a lot of credit for what he's done with the rest of the roster outside of the offensive line. So that's why the praise, I am saying, you know, put the offensive line to the side. Looking at everything else, it's an A+. Now, let's look at the offensive line separately. And that's where I did a show last week where I did say, you know, I don't know about this. Let's start with this one. DJ Fluker, who spent a cup of coffee with the Dolphins a couple of years ago, and he got hurt and was off the rest of the year. He was at Alabama's Pro Day on Thursday. And, you know, he's in shorts and a T-shirt. And I know we're desperate Dolphins fans. I know. Everyone's eager. Got to get an offensive lineman. But DJ Fluker, who hasn't played in a couple of years, and, you know, I'm not impressed that in shorts and a T-shirt, he's pushing around some kids at a pro day. And, you know, to we want to solve a question mark at right tackle or left guard or somewhere on this offensive line. You don't solve a question mark with another question mark. Okay? So I know everyone's going gaga for DJ Fluker. And I wish the guy nothing but the best. I hope he finds a home. Miami's not the fit for him. Miami needs something a little more stable right now. We got question marks in Austin Jackson. We got question marks in Liam Eichenberg. Adding another question mark in Fluker is not going to make the situation any better at all. So with Fluker, it's a nice story. Hopefully someone will give him a chance. I just don't want to be Miami because that's not going to help the situation be solved. And if he proves me wrong and next year he goes on and finds a team and starts, and good for him. But that still doesn't make it a wise choice for Miami right now. Would you agree with that, Robert?
I agree. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about guys, and again, this is a name that we have heard. We know the name, and I think a lot of times fans fall in love with the name. Someone they've seen on the college scene, someone they've seen, you know, have some success early career in the NFL. But I don't think this is the place for that as well. I think this is an offensive line that, you know, we have enough projects on there right now as it goes, not only starting, but behind them one line back on the backup string. So, and you're only going to get so many guys. I think what they need to focus on is someone who can come in and stay healthy for the entire year. I think they found a couple last year, but I don't think it's DJ Fluker. And we'll talk about some other options that are out there. And maybe it's a draft position. Again, I don't think so, but you know, it might be one of those where they wait and see who gets released, because if you're falling in love with names now, just wait until May. You know, you're going to fall in love with even more in June when players start getting released in early parts of camp.
Yeah, and here's the thing with Fluker. He hasn't played since November 2020-ish. The Dolphins signed him April 2021. Then he got hurt on July 29th, missed the rest of the season. No, well, he was then released on August 2nd. So he didn't even get through the first week of training camp with the Dolphins before he got hurt. Then he was suspended for 6 weeks by the league for violating substance abuse policy. The Raiders signed him, and they just put him on the practice squad. He didn't even play. Then he was cut in December. Then Jacksonville signed him later December, and he only played a game in 2020. He's been suspended. He's been hurt. He's been a couple practice squads. Again, I understand. If you watch the video of him in shorts and a T-shirt pushing around a bunch of pads and kids, folks, it's like the combine. You know, you got to keep things in check, and not for Miami. Now, Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, actually put out an article Friday afternoon saying this is the Dolphins' plan as far as he knows it. Everyone knows Barry Jackson's on top of this stuff. He's very plugged in, very respected reporter. So Barry Jackson is reporting that the Dolphins showed preliminary interest in George Fant early on in free agency. And they've also inquired about other offensive tackles that he is not allowed to say who they are. So he's saying George Fant and a couple others, but he can't name the couple others. And he's going, if the Dolphins have made an aggressive pursuit to sign any of these names, he goes, they haven't told him, but they do have names on their radar. And he's also said the Dolphins have also told Brandon Schell, you know, try not to sign with anybody if you can, because you're one of our options just to sign you and have you come back to compete at right tackle as well. So Dolphins, George Font, two other names or so that he can't report, and Schell is sort of in their back pocket where it's like, don't go anywhere yet. Although Schell last week was talking to the Bills, but the Bills signed someone else. So Shell's still floating out there. Now, Barry Jackson goes, it is a little surprising that they just don't sign Schell, because it's not going to cost a lot of money, and he only permitted two sacks in 147.2 pass-blocking snaps last season, which is pretty good. And you can make a case if they sign Schell, you know, he's going to beat Austin Jackson out. I'm sure Miami's mindset is Schell's good, but we might want someone who's even better than him to push Austin Jackson, which I'm thinking is the thing. So he goes, is the Dolphins plan, he asked the question out loud, are the Dolphins really going to go into the season with their offensive tackle at right tackle as Austin Jackson, with only Kendall Lamb and Garon Christian as their backups? He goes, no, he doubts that. And he's going, from what he's hearing and what he's sort of, the vibe he's getting is that the Dolphins are waiting for a good player. Not that Shell's not good, but a good player to become available through a cut or a trade request over the next 5 months. So Miami seems content where if this goes on, you know, all April, May, June, July, up to training camp, they're content waiting this out. Now, here's the problem with that. Brandon Schell, if he gets an offer in the next week or two or three or a month, he ain't going to buy. Is he going to put his life on hold for the Dolphins? He ain't. Now, he could take the offer to Miami and say, I got this offer. You going to match it? No, bye. I ain't waiting for you. So that could blow up in their face. George Font has never played for Miami. So if he gets an offer, he sure is up. Once again, hey, Miami, I got this offer. You going to match it today? No, bye-bye. I ain't waiting. So it is a game of chicken in that they're willing to wait 5 months. All these other guys aren't. So it's going to be really interesting. It's an interesting approach. It's kind of the approach I felt probably midway through this week is, if they wanted somebody, they probably would have signed them by now. They're not. So they're waiting for literally a star to fall in their lap or something to fall in their lap. And great if it works, but we know the other option, it might not work, Robert.
I mean, this isn't the NBA. That's the problem, is the way that this reason sounds. It sounds like, you know, in the NBA, when a player says, hey, I want to leave and I want to go to the Miami Heat, and that's the only place I want to go, then they figure out a way to make it work. But in the NFL, you don't have that. There's not that much player power to just demand a trade to a specific team. You can say, hey, I want to be let go, and I have, you know, specific, like Jalen Ramsey, he kind of wanted to go to Miami and he made it happen.
Yeah,
that's Jalen Ramsey.
Too, yeah.
You know, that happens on its own. So, you know, do I think that I think that, you know, Schell is a great option. And for this one reason, this offense and these schemes can get very complicated. And yes, these are all professionals. Not only scheme for almost a full year, he stayed healthy for the most part, but also someone who doesn't have to completely relearn all this terminology. We know Mike McDaniel likes to bring in guys who have worked with him before, so it's not like, you know, learning, you know, Mandarin on top of English at the same time. So maybe that's something he looks towards as well. And if you look at that case, look towards San Francisco, look towards all the other places that he's, you know, been around. I think Atlanta as well, if anyone's still around. But, you know, I think that the Schell signing makes sense, if anything, to have him on there going to camp, see if you like it. Everybody cuts everything. What the roster is today is not going to be what the roster is in July. So, you know, you have him on there, and if you find a better option, it sucks, but this is a business and you got to have to move from there. And then value as well going into that. I don't know. I'm playing skeptic, but I like keeping Schell just because he proved himself last year. I think he earned another shot out there other than just, hey, you know, hold off a little bit. We'll try and make it happen and give them the old, you know, we'll work with you deal. The NFL, as we know, players want to see it. They want to know what's right there. But I think if he hasn't gotten a spot, and he and Kendall Lamb, if nothing else shows up, you know, you have some reliability that can come back and push Austin Jackson enough to see him you know, warrant winning that starting job. But you got to remember, this is the same coaching staff that, you know, for the most part, looked at Austin Jackson last year and said it going in, we love him and he's our starting tackle. He missed the majority of the season. He's still our starting tackle. He goes out again. We love him. We're going to the offseason, still our starting tackle. There's something there with Austin Jackson. So what's going to make them change their mind? Hopefully it's a name that comes up that also that they can afford. You got to keep that in mind. We're kind of cap strap.
Yeah. Well, they do have $13 million about to come off the cap June 1st. So if this goes past June 1st, they're going to have money to spend because they don't have a lot of picks in the draft to have to sign a draft class. They got That's four. True. Okay. And paying undrafted rookies isn't much. So they should have a lot of money under the cap come June 1st. So if this goes on for a while, which I know no fans want, everyone's anxious. They want to solve like yesterday. And nobody wants to wait to June 1st or later. I get it. Trust me, I get it. But if this goes on a while, then they're going to have some money opening up. Plus, they can still do things to make cap space. Christian Wilkins, everyone expects him to restructure, which it does. That's going to open up a boatload of cap space and take his cap number down. And that's an easy one to do. I don't know why they're waiting. Honestly, I would have done that pre-free agency, but they're waiting. Okay. But that's an easy one. And there are some other moves they can cut. Someone like a Keon Crossan, which they probably don't want to do, but in a pinch, now that they brought back Nick Needham, they signed Elliott as safety, Trey Williams coming back. You know, if they cut him, that would open up some cap space as well. So the cap, it's an issue to a point. Now, there, he also said here, Barry, in the article, Cincinnati, Leal Collins is about to be released most likely. Problem with him is he tore up his knee late, I think week 18 last year, week 17. And plus prior to that, he wasn't any good. I mean, he was terrible in Cincinnati. So he's going to be on the market. And Chris Greer, you know, when he was in the draft a few years back, he had the whole situation where he thought he was involved in an incident off the field. And he was supposed to get picked like in rounds one or two, and he fell. And then his agent told teams, nobody pick him. We're just going to sign with somebody. So, and Chris Greer was talking to him then. And then last year, he almost went with him over Armstead. It didn't work out. So he's always been on his radar. He just major knee injury, wasn't very good prior to it. Then you got Jonah Williams in Cincinnati, who's all mad because Cincinnati went out and signed Orlando Brown, is saying, I don't want to be here anymore. So they're probably going to release him. The problem is he's in the final year of his deal. He would count on – so he's about $12 million on the cap. And plus, he said he doesn't want to move to right tackle. He's a left tackle because when you're on the open market as a left tackle, you make more money. Plus, the other problem with him is he was terrible last year. So even if you pay him money and he said, well, we're going to pay you, move you to right tackle, shut up about it. He wasn't any good last year at left tackle, so he might not be any good at right tackle. So those two names are out there, but I'm not sure they're, once again, they're true answers to anything. So he said two other options here as we wrap up this article from Barry. Pick number 51 they have in the draft. You can draft somebody. Problem is Chris Greer's history, Austin Jackson, Liam Eikenberg, Solomon Kindley, and some others. Not good drafting offensive linemen. That's a huge risk. The other thing is move Robert Hunt to right tackle, then just find a right guard. Problem with that is Robert Hunt has failed already at right tackle, and he's a pretty good right guard, so why weaken two spots? So, yeah, we're in a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah, I and I'm really getting tired of hearing the move Robert Hunt to right tackle. I mean, the guy played out at right guard last year. You know, he was one of the better offensive linemen, the more consistent linemen that we had out there. He has improved. Leave him where he is. Let him develop. And so that I'm tired of hearing that from a lot of places and people who say, you know, that's their best option, because it's not the best option. You have a spot solidified. You keep it. Now the Lyle Collins, Greer loved him because when he was and he was coming out, you mentioned he was talking about him or Armstead. I think that was a smart play. But if you bring in Lyle Collins, a guy like that, it's another snake bitten history player of injury concerns. You know, how many of your offensive linemen are you going to be worried about? Are they going to make 12 to 15 games? You know, I think he has a lot of talent, but he gets hurt. And so if you're going to take that shot, then you're taking your shot. That seems to be what Chris Greer and the rest of the organization like to do right now, is they're going to pay for players for the upside versus injury history is. I mean, look at their linebackers that they signed. What's his name from Tennessee? David Long. Injury history, tremendous upside though. And so they went and took that shot. Same thing with Armstead. Same thing with Xavien Howard. They're keeping him here. Injury history. So they're playing this potential game and hoping that it cashes. So maybe if they can strike a deal with somebody like that, that would make sense, then go for it. But I think that there's a lot of moving parts on that offensive line. And there's only 9 players out there that you can have on the roster come game day. So if you got your starting 5, and we're still not sure about Eichenberg, is he a true left? I mean, you got to have someone to fill those holes. Not everyone can be $35 million players. So you got to have someone to kind of fill those holes. Problem is the right side is to his blind side. So you should have a Teron Armstead guy on that end, kind of holding it up, and not a Kendall Lamb if you don't have to have that option.
Yeah, and that's the whole issue here is that the reason we have this mess is because Chris Greer, and again, no GM is going to bat 1,000 on his draft picks. It's not going to happen. But you can't whiff on Austin Jackson at pick 18 and then whiff and trade a third-round pick to move up only 8 spots in round 2 to just whiff on Liam Eichenberg. So that's pick number 18. Then you got a high pick in round 2 plus the third-round pick you traded to miss on 2 guys who, and I don't say, I say
also
this
a Solomon Kinley. Let's not forget that one.
Yeah, Solomon Kinley, which they trade up in round 4 to get 2, who's not even here anymore. And your video here has kind of frozen, Robert, just so you know. But the issue overall is when you miss so badly on that stuff, there's consequences. Do you think the Dolphins wanted to pay an injury-prone Teron Armstead all that money? Okay, all that money to play left tackle? No, the goal was to draft Austin Jackson and let him be your left tackle of the future. That failed. Even with the pick of Robert Hunt, which everyone praises, the goal was that year at the top of round 2 to draft Robert Hunt and have him be your right tackle of the future. So the drafter went Tua, Jackson, then obviously the pick of Noah, which was a miss, but okay. And then Hunt, you got a starting quarterback, left tackle, right tackle. Well, Austin Jackson flat out can't play. We know that. And Robert Hunt got moved to guard pretty quickly. So plan A didn't work out. And that's kind of been the problem here with the offensive line. And I think I've been saying it for weeks and months. I don't think Austin Jackson can play in this league. I don't think Liam Eichenberg can play in this league. And some fans out there, and I understand your fans as a team, you don't want to believe that two players can be objectively that bad and you just sort of have to like move on from them. And give them a chance, give them more time. And every year they got a new offensive line coach and every year it doesn't work out. And every year they go on the field and they're out there blocking air. It's not working out. And it just hasn't worked out overall. But at some point, when you're on a win-now team, you go out, spend all this money on a Ramsey, spend all this money on a Hill, spend all this money on a Chubb, spend all this money on an Armstead, and you're just parting with first-round picks here, first-round picks there, $100 million contract out here, $100 million contract there. You can't let two guys ruin it for you. And that's what we're looking at here, is having those two guys possibly derail your season. Because the AFC is too tough as it is. It's so deep with superstar quarterbacks. It's so deep with very good teams. I mean, you look at the AFC, you got obviously the Chiefs, the Bills, the Jets get Rodgers. They're going to be on the same par with Miami, really close. You're going to have teams like Cincinnati. We know they're really good. Just won a Super Bowl not that long ago. You got a team like the Ravens. They're still going to be good. The Browns should be improved now with Watson for a full year. Herbert and the Chargers are halfway decent. Jacksonville's got an easy division and a young quarterback will improve. AFC's so tough. Are you really going to – I mean, if Austin Jackson and if Liam Eichenberg fail, and you lose a game in October because of them or a game in November because of them, you could miss the playoffs over it. So it's like you're going to invest all this stuff, and I'm not sure if, you can just roll the dice with those guys.
Robert, I'm here. I don't know. My camera just kind of went out.
Don't worry about it. That's okay. We're almost done here, so we're wrapping up. Yeah, so I was just saying, I just don't think Austin Jackson can play. I don't think Liam Eichenberg can play. I understand Chris Greer drafted them. He wants them to get every opportunity to have success. But at some point, when you give up all these picks and all this money to sort of win now, you can't let two guys derail the whole season because your pride won't let you move on from them. So if it were me, and I said this for those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Dolphin Talk earlier this week, George Fant, however you say his last name, I'm a big fan of his. Now, is he a superstar Richmond Webb type? No. But if they signed him, he is your starting right tackle. It's not even a competition. And then if, God forbid, or when Armstead misses a handful of games, you can either slide Austin Jackson to left tackle, or you move Font, move him to left tackle because he can play both, and then you put Austin Jackson in the right tackle. That just solves everything. And once again, it's not that Font is a superstar, and you got to pay him like a superstar. He's a capable NFL offensive lineman that solves the issue, okay? We can't answer a question with a question. Lael Collins is a question mark. He's not going to solve an answer. We already got two question marks. You can't add a third question mark, as I said earlier, like with Fluker. Lael Collins is a question mark. Jonah Williams is a question mark. Those guys, they might be fine for another team to take a flyer on, but Miami situation's different, and they need somebody more proven. If they want to go with Shell, I'm not sure your offensive line is what you improved over last year because he played most of the games, but at least you know what you're getting, and it's something. But they're going to wait this out, and they're willing to wait this out for months, it sounds like, hoping a team cuts someone or hoping a team is willing to trade someone. And that's great if it might work in your favor. But if it doesn't, then come June, come July, come August, when they're getting ready to go to camp in August, you know, they can't be mad when the fan base goes, you did nothing in March, you did nothing in the draft, and now we're looking at the same group that's failed us for the past however many years heading to camp. And it's tough to sell the fan base that hope year after year after year when we've seen the same people fail year after year after year. So that's where we're at, and hopefully it works out for them. I think it's a dangerous game they're playing. They're really playing with fire, I think, Robert, but that's what they're doing.
And isn't it, you know, at this point, kind of exhausting that we have all this firepower on offense. The team has signed all these wonderful additions to their defensive side of the ball. But for the past 10 years, at least 10 years, we keep talking about the darn offensive line to, you know, sit there and how are we going to hold it together? How are they going to provide blocking? How are they going to make holes for a running game that hopefully the coach doesn't abandon anymore? How are they going to be able to fill this? And everything keeps coming back to the offensive line, where I think a question I'd like to pose to Dolphins fans, and maybe I'll put it on Twitter, is would you rather have the news that you're getting all these skill players or have the news you're signing all these offensive linemen? Because unfortunately, it doesn't look like we can have both. We kind of have to figure one out over the other. And it looks like the team is going with, let's go with these skill players and kind of find, you know, what we can to fill some other holes. But I grow tired of talking about the offensive line being the team's biggest concern and question mark going into every season. Hopefully they can fix it. I think your proposal sounded great. You sold me on it. I'll get a penny jar going here and I'll send it in, and hopefully we can help pay the salary. But if that works, I think it works. It's not that far-fetched. You're right.
No, and once again, as you said on the show, you know, you're not going to have a superstar at every spot. George Fant's not a superstar by any stretch of the imagination. He is just a capable, veteran NFL offensive lineman. And if you have him and Austin Jackson sort of, you know, on your right tackle chart, one's first string, one's second string, you're fine. Now, I don't like Jackson being there, but I have to understand the reality of the situation is he ain't going nowhere because our general manager has too much of an ego to just move on from the guy. So it is what it is. So we have to live in reality. As much as I want him gone, I know it's not happening. So sign George Fant, put him at right tackle, and okay. Again, George Fant, Robert Hunt, Connor Williams. We'll find out something at left guard. They got a few other names. They got Robert Jones on the roster. You got Liam Eichenberg. They'll figure out left guard. You can have even Dan Feeney compete there because he has a lot of starts under his belt at guard there. Those guys can fight it out in camp, let the best man win. You can sell me on that if you fix right tackle. I think the reason why fans, and as much as fans say they love Chris Greer, And I think we've seen that, you know, fans, when they see the trades for Tyreek Hill, Chris Greer's cooking. Oh, this is great. They see the trades for Ramsey. Chris Greer's cooking. This is great. They see the additions of Waddle. Oh, he traded down. He traded back up. He still got Waddle. Chris Greer is so smart. Deep down, those same fans know. Deep down, where in their souls, this guy can't do anything with the offensive line. He's got a blind spot to it. He's the one who made this mess, and he's been unable to fix it. And you would have thought priority number one this offseason would have been, let's fix this offensive line. And no, priority number one was fix the secondary, which is fine. Priority number two was fix linebackers, which is fine. Priority number three is let's resign all the running backs, which is fine. Priority number four is we got to do something with tight end. Out with Gesicki, bring someone else's. That's fine. Priority number five is Trent's going to leave at wide receiver. Let's go out there and sign the guy from the Jets, Braxton Berrios. That's fine. Priority number six, we got to get a backup for Tua because we don't want to bring back with Bridgewater. So we go out there and sign Mike White. That's fine. Now, it's like you're overlooking the offensive line again when we all know Austin Jackson and Liam Eikenberg can't play. And I know some fans don't like to hear anything negative about their team. I understand that. They objectively cannot play in this league, but we have done nothing to replace or even give some false sense of competition to either one of them. And I know, as I've been saying, it's only March 24th. What I've been saying is I love what Chris Greer has done to the roster. Give him 4 to 5 weeks on the offensive line. Come night one of the draft where we don't even have a pick. If nothing's been done on this offensive line outside of Dan Feeney, then Dolphins fans have every right to be mad as hell. Bring out the pitchforks and go, you know, be mad as hell. So I will give him tonight one of the draft to do something. But if we go tonight one of the draft where they're only signing Dan Feeney, and we're going to wait to May or June to hopefully, something falls in our lap, I think that is just the worst plan on God's green earth.
Yeah, I'm going to give them till the end of the draft. I'm going to let them use those later picks and see if something comes up or they can make – it seems like they like to make trades. So I'm going to see if they want to do something with some of those additional picks or wait and see if a team drafts a lineman and ticks off one of their current ones. And then, you know, they know something that we don't. And they obviously do usually. So I'm going to give them till the end. So we got, what, 1 month? 1 month here until we start this conversation again and start talking about the offensive line.
27th, 28th, 29th, yeah.
Yeah, so we got about a month to sleep on it, and I'm going to enjoy the moves that they've already made. I'm going to go in there. Yeah, I'm really gonna sit here and kind of take it all in. I'm going to play Madden. I'm going to update my rosters, and then after the draft, I'll sit there and say, what are they going to do to fill up those last couple of holes? Because I think we know particular leadership. They're not going to want to go in there with all these. They may not have greatest answers to them when they sign someone, but they are going to sign someone. And I'm very curious to see who it is and what they bring them in for. And if it costs them anything, if they start trading away more draft picks and maybe some other collateral to bring in some other players, then, you know, this is it. Then guys, we got 2 years. Enjoy it while you can. And let's just let's watch how they unravel those four picks that they have. And if they use them all, cause they don't need them all.
No, they don't. They only had a few picks last year. First pick was at the end of round three. Only four picks this year. You can do that 1 year. You can do that even 2 years. But look at the Rams and what they're going through now. This will catch up with you eventually because eventually you have a roster with no young talent on cheap contracts. So the window really is this year and next year for Miami because come 2023 season, 2024 season, come 2025, you know, you're not going to have any young players on rookie deals. You're going to be trading away some very good players. Like how we got Ramsey, we're going to be trading away a player like that to another team and just getting peanuts back because you cannot sustain this forever. The Rams are proof of that. You do need young players on cheap rookie deals eventually. But I like the all-in approach. I like that we're trying to win it because we've been so bad for so long. At some point, you got to say, let's try plan B and let's try this approach. It's different. And you have to try this. We tried this in the mid-90s. It didn't work, but at least we're in the playoffs every year. At least we're relevant. The Jets are trying this now. I don't like the Jets. The Jets stink. I hate the Jets. I give them credit. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1969. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. You got to try a new approach at some point. We can't sit here, stockpile picks, hope we hit on the picks, wait guys 2-3 years, hope they develop. And then if they don't, you go back in the cycle and start. Oh, no, let's just go out there, buy a bunch of players and see if this works to at least become relevant. So Miami's now relevant. Now they have to translate to wins on the field. I like the approach, but I also understand come 2025, 2026, you know, we're going to fall off a cliff probably. But that's a right. long ways away. And if we win a Super Bowl by then, I don't care. So that's where we're at. Yeah, exactly. So that's where we're at. So, yeah, offensive line, that report from Barry Jackson of Miami Herald. Everyone go read it for yourself. I gave you pretty much the highlights, but you can read it yourself. They're, you know, they were proactive on pretty much every other position. They're not going to be proactive on offensive line. And I know none of us want that. I see you guys on social media. I see what you're saying. I understand you're all, you know, nervous, pounding the table. You know, I had someone on social media say, well, if we can see this, they have to see it. To which my answer is I've been around long enough. I've been, you know, I've had a lot of access to stuff behind the scenes at times. You know, don't assume anything. Because when you're in a position of head coach, general manager, coordinator in the NFL, which is only 32 teams, and you know there's not that many jobs, they have egos, massive egos, and a lot of them think they're the smartest people in the room. So you fans don't know what you're talking about. No, I know what I'm talking. A lot. I'm not saying Chris Greer is that way or Mike McDaniel. I'm saying a lot of people in those positions have lost their jobs because they've had that attitude. And just because we think Austin Jackson stinks and we think Liam Eichenberg stinks, they clearly have a different opinion. Because if they didn't, I guarantee those two guys, A, wouldn't be here, and B, they would have already replaced them. But the fact they haven't lets you know they have a different position on them.
Yeah, and if you ask them, that's what they say, isn't it? They say,
oh, yes. We haven't given up on them.
The status of the offensive line, they say, look, we've put an investment in. We paid Teron Armstead. We've got three high-round draft picks. Brought in a center, and we think that we have investment. And at a certain point, though, you got to sell. And so I think this is the month, not especially in training camp. If Eichenberg or Jack are really struggling, I don't think that they can just sit there and keep riding that wave. They know this is their window to make them, whether it's, you know, paying someone or getting someone else in there who can do or shaking things up. But we'll know come training camp and OTAs if those guys are shuffling around and when media gets to see, you know, and the lineup is and they see who the backups are, we can make our own assessment as to how that's going. And are they going to, you know, swallow their pride and say, hey, you know what? It didn't work. Or are they just going to keep on banging their head against the brick wall? I'm hoping that the wall comes down and there's no brick wall. And they say it works, and we can go in with some optimism. But I think that we've got a 6-month opportunity here to kind of just stop and sleep for a minute. But then once the summer hits, we're all going to be watching not only the highlights, but how is that line playing? And how are those tight ends? And what did we talk about earlier? The defensive line. You know, those three things are what we're all going to be really looking for, because now we're going to nitpick. Now we expect to be in the Super Bowl. We expect to be deep in the playoffs. We're supposed to nitpick now and look at the small things. And if that's saying, hey, our left tackle or our backup left or backup left guard isn't up to par, that's a blessing, guys. We haven't been able to be that damn nitpicky in how many years. So, you know, I'm looking into this. Trust them for 6 months.
Yeah, we'll see what they do.
You don't trust them at all. I trust them for 6 months on this particular conversation.
No, I'm giving them I trust them for about 5 weeks. Cause I think once we get to the draft, I don't think he'll be able to help himself. And I think come round two, he'll just draft a right tackle and he will sell the fan base. Well, this is our guy. It's the guy we wanted. We wanted him all along. We couldn't believe he was there at pick 51. Can you believe he fell to 50? And they will do this, you know, their used car salesman pitch, and they'll kind of, you know, a small part of this fan base will actually buy what I like to call the happy horse shit, and they'll fall into it. And then, you know, who knows? The draft is always a crapshoot. And yes, you can strike gold. We've struck gold, but when it comes to the offensive line position, Chris Greer really hasn't ever struck gold. I mean, even Laramie Tunsil, he was supposed to be the number one pick of the draft. If that didn't fall in his lap from the grace of God, he wouldn't even have that to hang his hat on, which I don't even count that. Him hanging his hat on that, because that was just luck, like no bit of luck ever happened, because he wouldn't have picked Laramie Tunsil. Laramie Tunsil was supposed to go number one or two in that draft. He wasn't going to fall to wherever he fell to us. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But offensive line, that's the latest there. One last thing here before we wrap up. If you want to meet Tyreek Hill and you're in South Florida, May 20th. Now, it does cost $2,500, but it is tax deductible. So it is a meet and greet, and it's for you and a guest. You can throw a touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. There's a professional photographer on site who will take a picture, blow it up to 16 by 20, and then Tyreek Hill will sign it right there in front of you with you standing next to him, of you throwing a touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. There's going to be live music there. There's going to be food and a barbecue there. And they did this last year for Tua. I know a bunch of people went, had a blast, and this is probably going to be just as much fun, where you can throw Tyreek Hill a touchdown pass. He's going to the Hall of Fame someday. It's a chance for you to get one-on-one FaceTime with Tyreek. I know it's pricey. That might not be for everyone, but that money is also tax deductible. So if that helps, think about that. It's in South Florida. We'll have the exact location as it gets closer. They don't want to announce that yet because they don't want, you know, people to like storm the location who aren't paying.
Right.
So, you know, and I have all the information. If you want, you have to reach out to Brandon. I have his phone number on our website. I also have his phone number on my Twitter feed and also his email address. You can reach out to Brandon Branch and he will set you up, tell you everything, how you got to pay, where to, you know, when it's time to tell you where to go, and tell you about all the nuts and bolts of it. But you can throw a touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. And if you're in the South Florida area, May the 20th. Everyone, thank you for listening to today's show. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to visit the website dolphinstalk.com. Also, be sure to follow Robert Burns on Twitter at Robert Burns TV. You can follow him there. He's going to be doing a lot of shows for us as we get closer to this season and in the next season. So, Robert, we'll get your audio and video fixed by in the office.
Yeah, I better figure that out.
We will nail that down. Hey, it's March. Yeah. We're all working through stuff in March. It's okay. And congratulations on your new child as well. This is the season for here at our Dolphins Talk team. A lot of people are having children right now. But everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, visit the website, dolphinstalk.com. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, don't forget, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.